The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I mean, I wanted anything and everything that I could find in the world to try to fill that void. I tried boys, I tried partying, I tried alcohol, I tried sex, I tried all the things that would make me feel complete or help me find my identity. Just kind of found myself in a really dark place. And so it was at 19 that I finally was like, I don't like my life.
Debbie Morris and her daughter Elaine Fisher share how God has turned their messes into something beautiful. Next.
Everybody, welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm so glad you're here today. We've got two really special guests. Now, you might know Debbie and Robert Morris, the founders of Gateway Church here in Dallas, but maybe you've never met their daughter. And I want to tell you there's something really special about today because they're both here. Debbie Morris and Elaine Fisher are here, and they have a brand new devotion out called The Good Mess. And I read it over the weekend. It is fantastic. It is so good. There's so many incredible stories in this book that are solid biblical truths that will help you find maybe miracles in the messes of your life. They've done it themselves. They've shared the stories. They've gone deep. And I know they've done it because they want to bring hope to anybody today that might be struggling in their own mess right now. Girls, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Life Today.
Thank you. We're thrilled to be here.
We're very honored.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're here. So I'm going to start right out at the top.
Okay.
You had me at day one. Debbie, you had me at day one. It's just such a great story. So let's start with day one. Let's eat pie on the floor.
Yeah. So to set it up for everyone who hasn't read it yet, my mom had us get up a Saturday morning very early and clean house. Like, we had guests coming. And I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody important. I feel like we cleaned baseboards. I mean, we really cleaned. And then as kind of a crowning part to her dinner, she planned to make this pie. So my mom is taking this pie, and it slips off the platter and onto the floor and upside down, and pie everywhere on the floor. Wow. And my sister and I looked at each other like, you know, what's she going to do?
Right.
Like, you know,
exactly.
She could be really angry.
Exactly. And has every right to be at this point.
Yes. And I probably would have been. But she looked at it, and then she said, let's get spoons. And we sat down on the floor and ate what we wanted of the pie because the floor was clean.
Exactly.
It was really
clean.
Yes. And we ate what we wanted of the pie, and then we cleaned it up. And instead of it being a horrible memory, it's one of my sweetest memories of my mom. And I know that God likes to take our messes and turn them into sweet memories and to redeem them so that to make something good out of our messes.
So. Yeah. So special. I love that story exactly, especially that it was day one. I could totally relate. And it also challenged me in my perspective. I'm the kind of person that might go, are you kidding me?
Yes.
The house is clean. We are ready for the king and queen to arrive. Everything's prepared. And then this happens.
Yes.
God, why would you allow this to happen in my life? You know, I'm quick to go to that, like almost to the negative of the moment. And God's, you know, now abandoned me in this moment with pie on the floor. But I love that your mother taught you, especially at an early age, how you could turn that mess into something special, like to see a different perspective.
Right.
Here's your spoon. Here's your spoon. Let's all dig in, because otherwise it's going to go to waste.
Yes.
Again, because he wastes nothing.
Right? Yeah.
He wastes nothing. Elaine, I'm going to hit you up right now on day five, because I love this one too. And this was a good one for me also. And what I love about this devotion, girls, is there's so many stories and reflections, mother, daughter, but marriage, brokenness, expectations, seasons in life that aren't what we hoped they would be. A lot of talk on healing, on friendship, on freedom.
Yeah.
We're going to hit that hard because, man, what a story you have. And as a mother, what you've had to do to carry through that, to get to this side of life and seeing where God has you now.
Yeah.
But it's been a process in both of your lives. But Day 15, God, even if it doesn't go how I want it to go, you remain faithful.
Yeah.
How, looking back, did you find the faithfulness of God?
You know, I think a lot of it, we already kind of talked about it, is setting your perspective. You know, I think Mom, that was a generational lesson that she taught us, was finding perspective in it. And really, it was when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going into the fire that they said, what if your God doesn't come through on this? And they said, even if our God doesn't come through, we will still worship him. And so I think a lot of my journey of finding faithfulness was for me to personally have a relationship with him, to not just live off my parents' relationship and off my parents' faith with the Lord. But when God became real to me, I was 19 years old. It wasn't just the church world anymore. It wasn't just, well, this is how we behave. It was no longer behavior modification. It was all of a sudden an authentic walk with the Lord that just shifted everything about my life. Yeah. And then I could see, oh man, he's faithful. Like, there's like a journey. There's a process to this. I don't need to be at the completion when I'm at the starting line. And so just finding that journey, I think you see the faithfulness and keep showing up and just going, okay, God, I'm going to trust you to just keep showing up and watch what you do. Because, you know, there were a lot of hard moments in my life that I thought, this is not how I thought God told me it was going to play out. And yet every time by my diligence to go, okay, God, but I trust you and I'll keep showing up. Like you just said it, he works all things together for the good. He uses everything. Nothing is wasted on our God.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Now, you've said journey twice.
Yes.
Tell me about your journey.
Yeah. I obviously grew up in a Christian home, pastor, parents, and different things. But I just think I knew how to behave like a Christian. And when it wasn't giving me the results of the Christian walk that I saw in other people's lives, I thought the problem was with me because I was after behavior modification, behaving like a Christian instead of an authentic relationship with the Lord. And so it was in middle school for me whenever I had my first moment where a boy asked me, hey, would you be my girlfriend? And I was in fifth grade. I went home. I was like, I don't even know what that means. Like, I'll go ask my dad. And my dad's like, that's silly. No, you're in fifth grade. Like, where are y'all going to go? Like, no. And I went back to school the next day and I said, like, oh, I'm so sorry, my dad said no. And I'll never forget it because his best friend kind of popped out behind him and was like, how would your dad ever know? And it was in that moment that a seed really from the enemy was planted of like, does your dad have your best interest at heart?
Wow.
Which ultimately came into, does God have your best interest at heart?
Yes.
Not just your earthly father. And so there was just this lie that I kind of built on. I had a lie that my dad loved the church more than me, which I knew wasn't true. But somewhere in my heart, it was like, well, maybe it's true. And so I just kind of started to seek to fill a void in my heart. I mean, I wanted anything and everything that I could find in the world to try to fill that void. I tried boys, I tried partying, I tried alcohol, I tried sex, I tried all the things that would make me feel complete or help me find my identity. I got into an abusive relationship, which I share a little bit about in the book, and just kind of found myself in a really dark place. And so it was at 19 that I finally was like, I don't like my life. I don't want to keep living this way. I'm tired of this. Like, I don't like this life. And so it was at 19 that I hit rock bottom. And I didn't know if I was pregnant. I didn't know what my future would look like. I just knew I was tired of what the world had to offer. It was not what I wanted. And so that was the night that I met the Lord. And everything changed in my life. But in that moment, I had this radical encounter with God. Like, yes, like, I love you. I'm for you. I gave my heart to him. But I walked out from this moment and I'm still dating the abusive boy and all my friends are still partiers and I'm still living in a circumstance that is not godly. And so I really had to go through a process of walking out of a worldly lifestyle into a godly lifestyle. And so that started by having a conversation with my parents. And honestly, like, I'm about 15 years removed from that scene of my life, and I still have seasons of healing and seasons of growing from that where, you know, things happen that still trigger you or still, you know what, that's another layer that I need to give to the Lord or I need to forgive or I need to repent of or whatever it is. But there was a good probably 2 years of intentionality where I changed my friend groups, I changed my phone number, I got off social media. Like, I did anything and everything to change my atmosphere so that I could live in a place place that I knew I wanted to be one day. I know I wanted to be a godly woman of God. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted that so bad that I had to change my atmosphere. I couldn't maintain that in an unhealthy place.
Yes.
And so they really helped me in that journey of finding that freedom of that, but also to be okay with the process, because it wasn't just praying the prayer and then my life changed. It was praying the prayer and then the decisions of walking that prayer out with the Lord.
Exactly. And working with the Lord. Like you intentionally made choices in your life. And I think so many of us when we're, and I've been here.
Yeah.
God, take this from me. And I'm still hanging on to stuff.
Oh yeah.
How many times do we do that? And it's such a posture of absolute surrender and obedience. And I've had to go through some hard times in my own life to learn obedience in my life. But what comes in that is so closely tied to obedience is God's blessing.
Yes.
God's blessing. But we have to be intentional. If you want healing in your life, then you need to put the work in.
Yes.
If you want to be free in your life, then you need to put the work in. Debbie, what was that season like for you when she sat you down, both you and Robert, and just said, I'm going to tell you, 98%.
I mean, at the time I thought I went all in, but I was just so much. Yes.
You know? I'm going to tell you,
we
most
couldn't have handled the other two.
Yeah, the other two. Hang on to that, sister. But I'm going to tell you basically my double life that I've been leading. And I think you say, Debbie, that you knew that something wasn't right. You didn't know the depth of it.
Right.
And I think that's the hardest thing probably for any parent to listen to the heavy that Elaine was carrying all by herself in a lot of ways. How freeing that must have been for you, but what state were you in when all of this just came right out?
I honestly kind of think I had some mixed emotions. I was thrilled that we were talking about the elephant in the room. Like, I knew that she wasn't walking where she needed to be. She was a masterful liar.
Yeah.
I would try to ask her questions and try to catch her and trying to, like, maybe find out ways that I could help her, but she was masterful. She was not just a casual liar.
Yeah.
She was a very committed liar.
Yeah, it was habitual. Like everything was a lie. I really couldn't, even in my own life, I didn't even know the truth. Like,
do you start believing? Sometimes I think you start believing your own lies when you get so deep.
On the surface, she looked like she was doing the right things. Like, she was going to a Christian college. She was showing up for youth group, you know, those kind of things. So she gave the appearance that there was some movement toward God. But it was obvious that she was not where we wanted her to be. And so that night when she started, my heart broke because... Like, as a mom, you would have protected your child from the pain that she was experiencing and had been experiencing for some time. Yeah. So I would have done anything to be in an advocate, tried to find a bridge out of there for her. You know, like, we would have done anything we could have to change where she was living. But we just didn't know.
Yeah.
So that day when she's telling us, there was a freedom that came for us to be able to help her. And to her credit, a lot of people say they want to be free, but that doesn't mean they want to pay the price of being free, which she did. And she was willing to let us invasively invade her world. Mm. And there wasn't anything that she withheld from us.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, there were some patterns that we had to break. But like, most teenagers wouldn't yield their cell phone be accountable for who they're with. And
that's right.
She did all of those things. And
it's what I love about when we actually just talked about freedom. If you want freedom, it's going to take some work.
Yeah.
And so you were intentional. And I think that must have showed you as parents, like, she really does want this.
Yes.
There really is hope. And I know you've been heavily involved in women's ministry as well, which I love. I grew up under my mom being in women's ministry, and I love that place, and I love that God has moved you in those different seasons of women's ministry. You have impacted so many women. And then to be able to walk this out with your own daughter and God bring you on the other side, and then to sit down and write this book together. I love watching where your relationship is today. I know it's not always been that way, as you say, but it's in such a beautiful place today. And I believe God God will use that to minister to a lot of people. What do you want the viewers to take away from this book, The Good Mess?
Well, when we started talking about it, I did not want a book that looked like we had it all figured out. Yeah. We're still in the process of walking with the Lord and being right. transformed. Okay. So this isn't a book like we can tell you no. how to do it right. But what we want to do is kind of lay out our messes for yeah. you and then encourage you that God can take your messes
yes.
and redeem them.
Yes, so, yes He can.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think we share this in the book as well, but there's a woman in the Bible named Hannah. And this is really where the idea of the book kind of settled in. But Hannah was in a distraught situation where she came before the Lord and she became so distraught before the Lord about her situation, her need, her desire. And she wept before the Lord. Oh, so much so that they literally thought, this woman is crazy. She's drunk. And
yes.
she goes, oh, please don't think that of me. I am just so desperate for God to move in my situation. And in that moment, she has an encounter with the Lord. And she walks out of that altar of the Lord and she says, you know what, my situation didn't change, but myself changed. My encounter, my perspective, yes. my mentality yes. about my situation changed. And so kind of in every story that we tell, we show that, man, in the middle of a mess, God is right there. And if you'll allow Him to encounter you, you will still have a mess to clean up. There will still be work that needs to be done, and there's a process to mm-hmm. that. But now you'll have a different mentality and a different perspective,
yes.
and you'll have a different strength in the middle of your mess because you have a God that you've invited into it. And so I think ultimately our heart is that you would just invite God in. Wherever your mess is, wherever mm-hmm. your brokenness is, you would just invite Him in to love on you, to give you wisdom, to give you strength, to equip you for the battle ahead. And just know that you're not in this alone. The enemy loves to isolate us and go, oh man, you're the only one that has this problem with your kids, or you're the only one. And you think, man, if I were a better Christian, my kids wouldn't walk away. And here we have like Holy Spirit Junior, and I still walked away from the Lord. that's not how it is. And so just to know I'm not alone in this, and yet God is still available to me to help me through it
yes.
is probably my heart for a big yeah. takeaway for us.
I love that takeaway, and it's actually what I took away. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote notes on it, even that the story of Hannah. I love
yes.
that you talked about that, because we can get so stuck on also praying for this,
yes.
this circumstances, this situation to change,
yes.
and it's not God. Where are you? Now I feel numb, so I feel abandoned. All the
yeah.
things, I'm walking away, I'm out.
Yeah.
I can't trust. I don't have faith, and it's just all the stuff.
Yeah.
But what you talk about there and what the Bible talks about is an encounter
yes.
with God.
Yeah.
So if we change, and I'm learning to change that. So if this isn't changing,
yeah.
then let me change my prayer. God, may I have an encounter with you
yeah.
in this season of praying over this, and I'm having to wait, or that's not changing.
Yeah.
Let my language change. Let my prayer language change to have
yes.
an encounter with you. And then in time, if that's what you have for me, just like Hannah,
right.
all those years later, it came to fruition.
Right.
She trusted
right.
and she believed and she had an encounter with God.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's beautiful.
It's true.
It is. Yeah. Thank you for this gift of the good mess. You girls did an incredible job. It ministered
Thank
deeply
you.
To me. There's so much in here. It's impactful, and it will touch the heart of so many women that just need to know that we still serve a God of miracles that
yeah.
can still turn things around. It's never far gone. It's never too late.
Right.
I'm so grateful for it. I'm also grateful to know that God has given us an opportunity to bless some people right now today that might feel like they're in a mess and they don't know how to get out, and they're crying out for a miracle. They're crying out for help. And I believe God has placed us in this moment, in this time, to step in and help these precious people that need this miracle. Mm-hmm. Take a minute and watch this.
We're actually in this village in Angola, bringing the stories that reveal the truth of what these people are going through. And one of the children showed up with a bottle of water that was just absolutely filthy. And they were telling us, well, they're getting their water from a well. This is what they call a well. And this little girl, just in her natural daily routine, she was coming from a village, we were here, she came, and she's now just filling up this water that she's 6 years old. And her little sister are gonna carry this water back to their home, and they're gonna consume this water. That's what their mom's gonna cook with, it's what they're gonna clean with, and it's what they're gonna drink, and it's what they're giving babies. We've seen this in Mozambique and in Angola and all over the world. We see these kinds of situations. But today, here in Angola, this is what children are drinking. And this is what is killing them. This is what takes a life from an innocent child. Friends, this is 100% every day. This is life here. I know that it's appalling, and everything in you wants to say that can't be true. But friends, I'm telling you, this is it. This is what they have to live with unless we help. At what point do we quit letting people suffer? This is not an easy death. This is an agonizing death. And it's up to us to be the Jesus in the world today to them. Do we have a right to preach a gospel of life and a gospel of healing if we're not willing to even go to the distance to ensure that the simple things are met? We would all like to see the day that we don't have to do it anymore, but that day is not today. So I'm asking you, help us bring water for life to villages just like this all over the world. We know it works, and we can do it if our friends will help us.
My goodness, John could not have said it any better. I've traveled with this incredible ministry for well over 16 years now, and I've seen those very wells. I've seen the holes, I've seen the rivers, I've seen the streams, I've seen the mud, I've seen the dirt, I've seen the devastation, the contaminated water. They call it water, but they are literally wells of death. They don't produce life in any way at all. I've walked through these villages. I've carried the buckets on my own back. I've carried the children. We've walked to these holes, and I've sat there and watched them drink this sip after sip. And all I could think in those moments were, how long will they live? How long will they make it? How long will it be until hope comes for them, until a cup of life, real life, comes for them? Let me tell you, there is hope and there is real life. There is real life in the water of life. I love that our vision and that our hope is to build 350 wells this year. I have been in the very villages where I've gotten to go back, and I've got to see that truck and that rig show up and start drilling deep and deep and deep until they finally hit water and then it springs up. And you know what I see is celebration and these communities thriving and living and breathing because of the real life that's been given to them through this clean water. It is possible. We can turn these situations around, these horrible, hopeless, desperate situations around for so many of these people, these children, these communities. And we can do it today. But the truth is, we can't wait. Just as you saw, we cannot wait. The situation is so critical right now that we get in there and we bring them water for life. So what would that look like for you and for me today as we come together and pull everything we've got, all of our resources together, hopeful and prayerful that we could do something to change this? Okay, it's pretty simple. For $48, listen, you can bring water and provide water for 10. For $144, we could reach 30 people with clean water. And if you could do today $4,800, you know what'll happen? You'll be a part of bringing in an entire rig, an entire setup, and drilling a well that will provide water for this entire village for the next 70 or more years of their lives, forever. That is something I get excited about, as you can see. So if God's laid it on your heart today, right now, to give, don't hesitate. Move, move, move. Make a call. Go online and give whatever gift that you can give today to make a difference, to bring life to these precious people who need it desperately. Let's do it. Let's do it together. And let's do it right now.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to a waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These 4 seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These 2 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you possibly could give today, whatever God's laid on your heart. I would just challenge you just to respond to it. Don't wait, don't hesitate, just respond. If He's speaking to you, just move, 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 because I know it would change the lives of so many people today. Just make a call or go online and give that gift today. And with any gift that you're able to give today, we want to send you this great devotional, The Good Mess by Debbie Morris and Elaine Fisher. I know it will be a blessing to you as it's been a blessing to me. Girls, truly, my life feels better today because I've been in the presence of 2 amazing women of God. Life-changing story, and a story in a life that has just stayed consistent and solid. The prayers of a praying mama that's changed everything over your life. My mom means the same to me. She's a gift to me. She's a junior Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is there any one last thought you want to leave with us today?
God's good. And yeah. Even in our messes, like you were saying, we can find Him. And our messes may not go away immediately, but when you find God, it is good.
He's a redeeming God.
He is.
He doesn't just pick and choose what to redeem. Right. He redeems all things.
Yes.
He's a God of restoration. He's a God of second, third, fourth chances, of new beginnings.
Yes.
Today is a new beginning for somebody watching today. I believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
Get this devotional that could change everything in your life today. We love you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
So I shut the door to my car after I park it, and I step away from my car and I hear shots fired.
John Arroyo was attacked at home. Tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.